Now's a good time. But I can't answer it.
Can you explain the difference when people ask us, you know, what kind of church is Victory? I always say non-denominational, charismatic, but Bernie was saying that we're evangelical by theology.
Here's my beer.
Yeah. Can you explain what's the difference between an evangelical church and a charismatic church? And do you think that's accurate to say that we're more evangelical than charismatic? Because I always classify us as a charismatic church just because we believe in all gifts of the Spirit. My understanding is that charismatic sort of encompasses evangelical but adds the gifts of the Spirit.
No. Charismatic is a subset of evangelical. Evangelical is the broader category. Evangelical means that we embrace the historic gospel. So that's essentially what it is, evangelical.
Evangelical doesn't necessarily mean charismatic.
Correct.
So isn't it more correct to say we're charismatic than to say we're evangelical?
Yes, but charismatic carries so many connotations that probably communication is better evangelical. So it's evangelical charismatic would be the best description, but for
my interpretation, someone told me that the church was evangelical, was I would think it wasn't, they didn't practice the Spirit.
Yeah, that's not necessarily true, but that's the connotation. Yeah, but when I think of charismatic, pictures of wild things come to mind. Yeah. And if you attended our service, you wouldn't know if we were charismatic or not. Because you can go to Presbyterian churches, have kind of worship we have now. So we're not charismatic in our worship style. I mean, if someone starts speaking out in the congregation in tongues, an usher's going to help him, right? Yeah, so we're not really charismatic in our worship expression.
But yeah, we are.
Except in our worship night.
Worship night, sure. Yeah, I've never been to one of those. Holy Ghost, huh?
Steve would describe it as, we had a discussion. We are non-denominational, he would go. We are evangelical in doctrine.
Nah. We don't need to record this. This is all right.
Yeah.
You just shut the tape.
And then he would talk about, we're Calvinist in leaning, Arminian in approach. And then, you know, and he would go, we're as confused as can be to do the job that we need to do. So, and then he laughs it off and then moves on. So I never get a clear answer. So,
did this get changed out or something? Did I grow? That's farther down than it was before. All right, where are we?
I don't know.
Develop your presentation is our fourth category. Develop your presentation. So practice positive body language and good posture. Now, this is a constant challenge for me. I know.
Everybody straightened up.
He got lower down. This is a real challenge to me. I have very, really bad posture. And as a result of that, bad back problems. I talked to my doctor. I had some back surgery 11 years ago. And he said, what's the problem? He said, well, it's a combination of bad genetics and a lifetime of abuse. Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. So in one of my classes, actually, we had a student who trained us on how to walk properly, good posture. I'm always concentrated. I'm thinking I'm really standing up straight, and then I'll pass a mirror and I'm like hooked over. I can't get any straighter than that. But I think it matters. Positive body language, good posture, communicates confidence. It exudes a sense that you know who you are and where you're going, and people ought to follow you. Dress in a way that expresses confidence and pride. Like I said, I may not live these. I'm just telling you. I said, why did you wear that today? I don't know. I was just feeling it. It just felt good. Tired of wearing the same things. I thought I haven't worn this, so probably never will again. Although I hope you notice, Pastor Steve had the same color jeans and almost identical colored kind of shirt. So I knew I was in the spirit this morning. Dress in a way that expresses confidence and pride. It's fascinating. They did quite a lot of research in American public schools, and they found that on Picture Day, which is traditionally the day when the kids are supposed to dress up, that their test scores are always much higher. On Picture Day, yeah. Students do better on Picture Day. They feel something about themselves. And it affects the way they take tests, their assignments. They perform better on Picture Day. So there's a measurable corollary between the way you dress and the way you perform. It's fascinating, isn't it? Display a genuine smile often. Now, this is a powerful thing. It's amazing, the power of a smile. I've been practicing smiling for a long time, and it's powerful. First of all, because I have no woo, you understand? So I'm like anti-woo. So I realize I need all the help I can get. And a genuine smile gets me stuff. You know, when you're having to deal with in airports and lines and you need this, something or other, a real genuine warm smile, it's a powerful tool. And it's something you just practice. You just concentrate and write notes to yourself. Smile more. I like little things like that that you can do that have a significant effect on the influence that you have in others. So display a genuine smile often. Let's all practice. Some of you are fake. Some of you is like it hurts. You got to practice it so that it looks genuine. Okay. Number whatever. Develop a sense of humor. Yeah. I know that comes real hard for some people. Oh my goodness. My friend Leo Lawson. I don't know how many of you know Leo, but we've known each other for a long time. Matter of fact, his wife and my wife were roommates back in college. They shared this tiny little room, had a trundle bed. You know what that is? It's a single bed, and then the bed that pulls out. And there was no room to walk in the room when the trundle was pulled out. And that's how big the room was. One bed and the trundle, and that's it. Then you could just kind of tiptoe along the side there. So we go way back. And Leo, not an innately funny guy. And so he was really frustrated about this and talking to me. How can I get better? I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, rate yourself, with 10 being the funniest person on the planet and 1 as dull as concrete. And he thought for a moment. He said, -2. So, well, that's kind of funny. So that's a good start. I'm trying to think, how do you teach a person, how do you develop a sense of humor? I think number one is laugh at yourself. I think people who take themselves too seriously generally don't have a very good sense of humor. But when you realize, when you get in touch with your inner buffoon, the inner fool, right? And you realize just what a joke you are as a human being, pretending to be something, and are just comfortable with that, then everything seems a lot funnier. People seem funnier, and you seem funnier, and the world just seems funnier, and you actually get funnier. And then watch and listen to funny people. That's what I do, just try to figure out how they do that and learn that. Of course, that's my super theme, my learner theme, you know. I'm not very funny, but if you're funny, I'm going to get your humor. I'm going to learn that from you. Number five, our last category, strengthen your communication. Strengthen your communication. Every page I looked at, all the research, charisma and communication, maybe the closest connection. Charismatic people speak well. They communicate well. And so this is a hugely important category. Constantly improve your verbal and written communication skills. Constantly improve verbal and written communication skills. Usually takes friends helping you with your verbal communication skills, listening and challenging and questioning and adding to you. Speak confidently and with the appropriate volume. Now, I'm almost certain nearly every person in this room probably ought to speak louder. Now, there are a few exceptions I'm thinking of. One's on the front row, one's in the back row, okay? Why are you looking around, Gans? But apart from a few exceptions, just about everybody here, you need to speak up.
Yeah.
Yeah, louder. It communicates something. A quiet voice communicates timidity, and it's harder to follow a person like that. So you just change the volume of your communication. Raise it up a little bit. You'll notice a difference. And we can have classes afterwards on how to do this. Listen actively while others speak. There are a few things that are more frustrating when you're trying to communicate something that's important to someone and they're looking around, you know. If anyone does that, just slap them. Lynn's doing a little text motion. If they're going to text, I'm just going to stop. Or if I'm talking to them, and this happens at church a lot, doesn't it? Because there's a lot of movement. It's hard to stay focused when there's movement in the background, right? Especially if you have some kind of responsibility there, because movement means I need to know what's going on. Force yourself to stay. I lock in. I'm not moving. I'm going to stay right on their eyes, stay right looking at them the whole time. Now, if they look down, that gives me a moment to check things out, and they get right back. Before they know what happened, you see. But if I'm talking and they start looking around, I'll just stop. Just dead sentence, just stop. And when they come back, then I'll start up again. And I'm communicating. If it's not important enough for you to look at me, I'm not going to bother to even tell you. So we can talk another time. So stay focused, face to face, and communicate that you really want to hear what that person has to say. And then I think our last one, maintain eye contact when speaking and listening to other people. And that's probably similar to the last one. Okay? So now, having gone through those, how many of you would go back and maybe reevaluate your test? Would you give yourself some different scores? How many think you scored yourself a little higher than now that you think? Yeah? How many think you scored yourself lower? Really? How many think it's hard for Filipinos to accurately evaluate themselves and things like this? You know, a couple of suggestions is I would get someone who's close to you, who knows you, and is honest. And I'd have them just sit down, just take a few minutes and look, I took this inventory and here's where I valued myself. What would you do? And when they look at your five and they laugh and you have to peel them off the floor, you probably scored a little too high on that one. And that'll help. It'll be like a mirror. They'll look and say, I don't think you're really quite as strong in that area as you think you are, or you're much stronger than you actually are. I think that's helpful. What I want to do for a few minutes here is get together in groups of two, okay? And if you got a close friend here, it's good to be with that person. If not, just grab somebody close to you. And what I want to do is I want you to look at these 20, and I want you to come up with two or three, preferably, that right now I can do something to begin to improve that one, to make that one a little bit higher. Something practical I can do. So get in the group, talk to somebody, and maybe if you know them, have them look at some of your evaluation and see what they think. And then, yeah, can we kind of like get close to... Move the tables. We're finished. So we're tables or the chairs. Just move them around. So you can face to face, communicate with one another. Take some time with this.